If you have your Bibles, Ezekiel 18 and verse number 30. Ezekiel 18, verse number 30. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Now, there's a principle. We're all going to be judged. Now, if you're saved, you know we're judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And it's not our sins that will be judged. It's the way we've lived. Okay? So it'll be a day of reward. Well, he's speaking to the children of Israel because of the way they've lived. Notice, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions. So iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. And what's this? Verse 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves, live ye. Now, you see the word repentance. The original word for repentance, Greek word for repentance, is two parts. Meta, which is to change, and noia is your mind. So repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of heart. Now, listen very carefully. I want to show you this morning the difference between changing because you got caught and changing because you want to do right. And folks, all of us in this room, this word affects us. It affects your relationship to the Lord. It affects your relationship to people, your friends, your family, your wife, your husband, to your children, grandchildren. It affects all of us. This word, it's one of the key words in all of Scripture. You can't get to heaven without this word. This word, you can't have right relationships without this word. Now, how many of you have ever committed a transgression? What's your hand? Okay. How many know what that means? Okay. Hebrew word is to put a stumbling block down in front of somebody. In other words, you've done something you committed something that was against the plan of God. So you've transgressed. You've crossed over the line. That's the word for transgression. You crossed over what God said. Thou shalt not lie. And so we told a little white lie. We stepped over the line. So you got to understand now there's this transgression. There's this something between us and God. It just hangs there. How many of you ever said something, you didn't think about it, and it came out wrong? Raise your hand. That's it. Okay? Now, what do you do about it? It's hanging out there. Now, what it does, it separates and hurts many times. So it can cause hurt between a husband and wife. It can cause a hurt between brothers and sisters. It can cause a hurt between you and anyone else. So what do you do about a transgression that you committed? Well, you have a couple choices. It doesn't matter. And they pile up. And you separate yourselves from other people. But the most important thing is you separate yourself from the hand of God's blessing. Now, if you have your Bible, turn. Keep your finger in Ezekiel. We'll come back there. But turn your Bible, if you would, to 1 Samuel. I want you to see this verse. 1 Samuel. Now, we're going to look right now at what repentance is not. Okay? And you're going to have to put your spiritual eyes on in order to realize this. Okay? Now, watch this. For many years, I read this passage and I didn't understand the heart of God. Now, watch this, if you would. In verse number 3. This is 1 Samuel 15, 3. I was just guessing to see if you could figure out where I was. Okay, no. 1 Samuel 15, 3. Okay, now watch this. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Now follow with me. He's trying to get them to completely destroy Amalek because they snuck up behind Israel and killed a lot of the children and the old people when they were coming into Israel. Okay? The Lord didn't forget it. He wanted them removed because they were a wicked people. And they weren't going to change. So he's got one command. Destroy everything. Get rid of all the cattle. Everything. Because they were offering it to false gods. So you'll notice Saul goes in and he does everything. But he saves the king alive. And he saved the best of the animals. Now watch. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. Samuel came to Saul. And Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. He's using the right words. Hey, blessed of the Lord. I want you to, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. I've done exactly what God said. Now he knew in his heart he hadn't. This is a lie. But he's trying to make it where he sort of bluffs his way through. Well, notice what Samuel says. Verse number 15. And Saul said, verse number 14, I'm sorry. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears? In other words, they were supposed to get rid of all the sheep because they've been offering to false idols. And he says, what is this bleating of the ears in my ears? I don't understand. And you'll notice in verse 15, and Saul said, they brought them from the Amalekites. If there's no repentance in the heart, you know what you're going to do? You're going to blame somebody else. You're going to say, well, if you hadn't have said this, if you hadn't have done that, you're going to shift the blame. It is a common thing when there's no repentance in the heart. Understand, we're trying to get to repentance. But Saul is the perfect example of no repentance, but smart spiritually. I know what to say. Hey, I've done the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, well, then why do I hear the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the cows? He says, well, the people did. Understand, repentance, you take responsibility for what you have done. It took me a long time to see this. Now watch, if you would, verse number 15. Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And Saul is trying to cover for himself. He's shifting the blame. This is what happens. It's a very unspiritual tactic. It's trying to make somebody else look bad to spare yourself. It's a selfishness. Now, I want you to notice something. It's pointed out in this passage. Look here in verse number 17. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight. You know what that tells me? When we get lifted up with pride, when we think we're somebody, we're going to shift the blame to somebody else. Repentance is not in the heart of someone that has pride and arrogance. How many of you have ever known you needed to say, I'm sorry about something, but you just didn't want to? You know what I'm talking about? Well, pride's the reason. And we're not right with God right at that moment. So that's when the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you let the thought, I don't want to apologize to him first. I don't want to apologize to her first. You know what you've done? You've separated between you and the Lord, and the Lord's not going to bless you. You've put everything on pause of the blessing of the Lord. Why? Because you won't say, I'm sorry. Now, we notice it. We feel in our heart. Why is that? Because when you're saved, the Holy Spirit goes, Dave Pittman, you got to say you're sorry. But Lord, he. But Lord, they. But Lord, she. Exactly what Samuel did. And the Lord could very easily say, Dave Pittman, when you were little in your own eyes. So repentance is hard. Can you tell me why repentance is hard? Because it goes against our flesh. And our flesh always wants to protect us. That's what repentance is for. We don't protect us. We throw ourselves on the mercy of God. We throw ourselves at the mercy of someone else. We take the responsibility. We take the blame. Now, will you notice, if you would, look here. In verse number 20, even when he says that, it's amazing to me. In verse number 20, Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. He's arguing now. He's trying to cover himself. So the first thing we do is shift the blame. The second thing is we try to cover it up. We say, no. We try to cover it up. Our pride covers it up. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Whoso covereth it, well, they're in trouble. Notice, if you would, look in verse number 21. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and the oxen, and the chief things which should have been utterly destroyed. So he admitted it should have been destroyed. That's what God told me to do, but the people did it. Now watch in verse number 22. It's a famous verse. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Folks, obedience is one of the priceless things that God asks from his children. How many of you would say, I love the Lord? Don't raise your hand. I love the Lord. Do you know what the definition of the loving of the Lord is in 1 John chapter 5? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So obedience is the definition of love. So does Saul love the Lord? No, he doesn't. He's covering for himself. And so notice what it says, hath the Lord as great a delight in offerings. Has he a greater delight if you put in $10,000 in the offering because you don't want to apologize to your mate or to somebody at church? I'd rather avoid that person. I'll just put in an extra $1,000 in the offering plate and say, Lord, I'm trying to make up for it. Has the Lord a greater delight in offerings and sacrifice as in obedience? The greatest thing you and I can give the Lord is our obedience. No problem. I'll give it to you, Lord, because I love you. Obedience is a definition of love in God's sight. So notice what happens in verse number 22. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken or to listen than the fat of rams. For you to give, I'll just empty my bank account. I remember one time there was a man that was struggling with some things. So he gave a check to the church for $8,000. I didn't know it. But his wife found out about it. She was furious with him. And he said, look, I was just being good to the church. But so she just wanted him to do the right thing and not try to pay for doing the wrong thing. And so it caused a problem between them. And finally says, I'm sorry. I should have talked with you. We should have talked about it, prayed about it together. Will you forgive me? Until he did that, there was this. And so my point to you is that to obey is always better than sacrifice. So you and I always want to learn to obey the Lord versus giving and doing some great thing for the Lord. Well, I'll sing in the choir. That's not what the Lord wants. He wants obedience. Well, I'll be an usher. That's not what he wants necessarily. It could be, but he wants you to obey first. Me too. Notice, if you would, verse number 23. Then he says, for rebellion. So he defines knowing disobedience as rebellion. I don't think many of us will look at each other and say, I'm a rebellious person. But when we know what's right to do, we don't do it. I know I should tell the truth, but I know I should apologize. But you know what we are? We're not just transgressing. We're rebelling. When you look in your mirror and say, rebellion, oh, that does not feel right. None of us would be happy with that. But I want you to notice now, look here. So finally, Samuel gets through to Saul and notice the words. This is what tripped me up for many years. Look at this. Verse number 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. And then he gives the reason why. Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, fear will cause you to do the wrong thing. It'll cause me to do the wrong thing. I've got a tract in my pocket and I want to give it to someone and I'm afraid because somebody's watching, I might look bad. So fear causes me not to obey. I want to be a blessing to somebody, but I'm afraid, you know, that something comes up and I just don't want to, I don't want to go there. Now, follow with me. It looks like he made a genuine apology. I don't know how much you get better than this. Look here. I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. Now, listen very carefully. Every one of us, when you get a child that goes to the cookie jar and they get a cookie out of the jar and they're not supposed to, and you catch them and they say, I'm sorry, mommy. What is it you're trying to determine right then? What are you trying to determine when they say, I'm sorry? What's that? Are they sincere? Will they do it again? So the Lord is looking at our hearts, and the only way you can stop your flesh from being insincere and willing to do it again is if you repent. A change of mind and of direction. Now, only you and I can look into our hearts and souls and see our motivation. Well, I don't want to look bad. Wrong motivation. Well, I don't want them to think. Wrong motivation. Well, he did it first. Wrong motivation. I'll apologize, but it's his fault. Wrong thoughts. That's reading the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, bring into captivity every thought. You and I are the only ones that can see that thought, which is the motivation of why we said we're sorry. I looked at this passage and I said, Lord, why didn't you forgive Saul? Lord, I don't understand. You're a gracious God, a good God. Why would you not hear his prayer? Notice what the Lord says in verse number 25. This is Saul. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Now, you know what? It sounds like he's sincere. Look at the next verse. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee. For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king of Israel. I don't understand when I read that. I'm sorry. I want to worship the Lord. Will you forgive me? But the Holy Spirit gave Samuel the insight into his heart as the motivation. I am sorry. Now, folks, listen very carefully. You and I don't have the right to look at somebody and say, I don't believe you mean it. As God's children, now, as parents, we can determine that. But we don't necessarily look at the children and say, I don't believe you mean it. Because we can't look into the soul. We have to give them the benefit of the doubt. But this preacher here has got the eyes of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And so understand, I read this for him if you would. Look at verse 30. Wait, verse 29. Also, the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. That's the Lord himself. For he is not a man that he should repent. In other words, he has to change his mind necessarily. Now look here, verse 30. Then he said, I have sinned. And here is the key. I've got this underlined in my Bible. Yet honor me now. Lord, look, Samuel, look, I am sorry. But will you just honor me now in front of the people? I need the respect in front of the people. They'll lose respect for me. Would you honor me now? Would you say, oh, Saul, it's forgiven. Would you just honor me now and say, God's going to bless you. Would you just honor me now? Folks, when you repent, you don't care about the honor. You just want to be right. Yet, honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel. Remember, they were the reason he was afraid in the first place and did the wrong thing. So he hasn't lost his motivation. Look, the motivation for all repentance is, I am sorry, I just want to be right with you and right with everybody else. That's the only motivation acceptable for repentance. Lord, I'm sorry. Now would you bless me? If that thought is in our mind, we didn't repent. And folks, it's a hard thing. The simple little word, repentance, saves the soul, makes things right, causes people to do what's right. Now, listen very carefully. Somebody comes up to you like Saul and says, I'm sorry. Now, Samuel is speaking for the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to his heart. That's why Saul's not getting away with it. But you and I can't look at our mate and say, well, I don't believe you. Well, let me see the proof. That's the wrong statement. We always give the benefit of the doubt. When is it that God looks at you and I and says, well, let me see the proof? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. That's the way God treats us. That's the way we treat other people. We forgive it. And let, if they were being devious or deceitful, let the Lord take care of it. Because he's the one that saw Saul's heart and said, you're no longer king. Do you know what? That was his greatest desire. I just want to be king. He became prideful. I want to be king. I want my sons to be king. That's the reason he almost killed Jonathan. Jonathan, you're letting David come take over the kingdom. Do you understand? David is a threat. No, David's not a threat. The will of God is not a threat. You and I do what's right and let the Lord take care of everything else. And he tried to defend the kingdom. He tried to defend Jonathan when Jonathan didn't need it. He himself was worried about the kingdom. That's the reason he prayed. I am so sorry. I realize I can't have the blessing of God, so I am sorry. Now will you honor me before the elders so they'll look at me as the same thing as a king? Folks, that's not repentance. And you'll notice, if you would, look here. In verse number 31. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. But it wasn't right. He worshiped the Lord, but it wasn't right. Now watch verse number 34. Then Samuel went up to Ramah, and Saul went to his house to the Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. The Lord changed his mind and said, you know, I wanted him to be blessed of me, but he's not, because he's gotten pride. Many times, and folks, listen very carefully, the area we live is a danger spot, because we're blessed into repentance is not important. We have so much in America. We've been given so much. Take everything you have and everything you are and all your degrees and all your preparations and all your things that you look at as valuable and throw them at the feet of the cross and say, Lord, I'm nothing without you. I am sorry. That's the only way repentance comes. It's important for all of us. If you want to make things right with you and your mate or you and a neighbor, you have to take the blame and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Now, take your Bible, if you would. Turn to Luke 18. Luke 18. I want you to notice, we're going to see example now in the New Testament of right repentance and wrong. Notice with me, if you would, and you'll see the fruits of both. Verse 9. This is so important to the Lord that he gives an example. Now watch this. Verse 9. And he spake this parable. Now, a parable is a story for the sake of truth. It's not a true story. It's a story for the sake of truth. Unto certain which trusted in themselves. Now, there's the motivation. There's the motivation. They trusted in themselves. I can do it. Saul's motivation was fear of the people. I'd lose respect. There's all kinds of motivations for why we don't repent. But notice here, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So all of our sin has fruit. And one of the fruits was they despised others. They looked down on people. Two men went up into the temple to pray. So God gives us a clear example of repentance and the fruit thereof. Watch. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, he stands there and he prays within his own heart. God, I thank thee. So far, that's good. That I'm not like other men. That's bad. He's comparing other men. Can anybody give me a verse why we don't do that? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. The only people you get to compare yourself to is him. And all of us are filthy sinners compared to him. We're all guilty. So all we can do is say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. And he does. Now follow with me. Look down. He said, I'm not as the other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice in the week. That's good. Remember in the Old Testament it said, sacrifice is not as good as obedience. I'm going to fast. How many of you... fasting is a sacrifice. I don't know about you, but when I go to the store and say, hey, I see that filet mignon right there on the deal, I'm not going to get that. I'm just not going to eat anything. Even when I go to the store, even when I'm going out to the restaurant or something, you know, I'm going to fast about something. Everything looks good when I'm fasting. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, water looks good when I'm fasting. Everything looks good. If I want to say, look, I'm going to give up eating, Lord, for your sake, I just want to focus on this one thing. When I see food of any kind, every commercial on TV seems to jump out of that TV screen on me. And I look at it and say, oh, man, that BK burger looks so good. Oh, man. The one of my favorites is Chipotle. Oh, man. That Chipotle pilot, the guacamole on the top, and it's got, oh, it's just like, oh. And so I look at it, and if I'm fasting, I have to take my mind off of that and put it on him. This guy fasts twice a week. He's better than most of us in this room. But it's a sacrifice to make up for repentance. And it doesn't work. Notice what happens. I'm not as other men, verse 11. Extortioners give the list, verse 12. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, I tithe, but I don't fast twice a week. He's better than me in some ways. But the heart is something everybody in this room can control, and your motivations of why you say things and do things. So notice the next one. Verse 13. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes toward heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. No excuse. No pride. I'm sorry, Lord. And it doesn't matter what the subject is, folks. If it's your relationship with your mate, if it's your relationship with a brother or sister, if it's a relationship with you and a neighbor, somebody at work, look, I'm sorry, Lord. I was wrong. And look down in verse number 14. I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified, cleared with God. That's what we live for, to be clear with the Lord. Went justified rather than the other. The other guy said, look, he said, I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not like these other people. He did things this guy never even thought about doing, fasting twice a week. He tithed. God is not interested in sacrifice. He's interested in simple obedience and repentance. Verse number 14. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. You see, the issue goes back to pride. Verse 14, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I want to close with this thought. It's not my job to humble my sweet wife, Janet. It's not her job to humble me. It's our jobs, me, to humble myself and always apologize. Say, sweetie, I'm sorry. That's what keeps things sweet. Humble myself, Lord. I'm sorry. That keeps things sweet. And do you understand the promise of God? He says, if you confess your sin, I will always forgive. How many of you ever had somebody apologize to you and you struggled to forgive? Don't raise your hand. And you knew it in your heart. Well, the battle is, I want to be right. I'm going to forgive it right now. That's the secret to forgiveness. But repentance is, I'm sorry. And we don't get to look in the heart and say, are they sincere, insincere? We leave that to the Lord. But when you say you're sorry to the Lord, it is our response to look into my heart and say, what is my motivation? Lord, I'm sorry. Period. Today, repentance could change this world. Repentance can change this church. It can change you. It can change your destination from hell to heaven that quick. And it can change the hand of God's blessing on your life that quick. There is no blessing unless there's repentance. And it makes things right. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 14, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Well, you'll notice, he's got things right with the Lord. The other man does not. And if you remember, does anybody remember what happened with Saul? Very quickly, can anybody tell me what happened to Saul at the end? Within a few months or years of this one statement of 1 Samuel chapter 15, he died in battle. All of his sons died in battle. All of his dreams died on the battlefield. You want to know why? no repentance. The right words, the wrong heart. Today, let's have the right words and the right heart. When you go to someone to say, I'm sorry, make it stick. Look, if you would, back verse 15, chapter 15, Luke 15. And here's the example. And I want you to follow this. Verse number 17. Luke 15, 17. And when he came to himself, now this is the prodigal son. This is anybody that's got something in your heart. And when he came to himself, you know what he means? When I saw myself the way God did. When I came to myself. Now watch this. 18. I will arise and go to my father and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He got it right. I sinned against God first and against you. And verse 19, here's the key to repentance. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Pride's gone. That's the key. Pride's gone. I'm no more worthy to be your son. Just make me a hired servant. That's the key. Now, there are going to be people trusting, oh, you're not that bad. Oh, you're not this. Notice the next verse. Verse number 20. And he arose and came to his father when his father was a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And what does he do? He sort of pushes his father back, steps back and says, the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and no more worthy to be called thy son. He stuck to his guns and what he convinced his heart he had to say. Dad, I'm not worthy to be your son. I did you wrong. I did the Lord wrong. I'm sorry. And you know what? There was complete forgiveness. Do you see the difference? The words we say have to come from a heart of sorrow. I am no more worthy. When you can say that sincerely, you're repenting. Without that, we're in trouble. Today, how are things between you and others? You can make them all right. With one word, repentance. I am no more worthy. I'm sorry. Father, will you bless today? Help us to learn simple things from Scripture, Lord. But there's so treasured principles that can change our life. Lord, bless our marriages. Bless our homes. Give us repentance in heart. True repentance in your sight. In your name we pray. Amen.